أحمدك اللهم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وأشهد أن محمدا عبدك ورسولك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بهداه إلى يوم الدين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. We praise Allah. We bear witness there is no God but Him. And we bear witness that Muhammad is His messenger and prophet. And we ask Allah to shed His peace and the prayers upon the prophet and his household and his companions and his followers to the day of judgment. My dear fellow Muslims, this August Fridays have visited us each with big news. And today we come to the mosque with tears in our hearts for the victims of the earthquake in Turkey. It is a great calamity betaking that country, and our hearts go to them. First, because they are fellow members in the human family, and on top of that, because they are members of the Muslim family. The Turkish nation is a good Muslim nation. And in such circumstances, whether the victims are Muslims or not, but especially when they are, it would be the duty of Muslims to extend a helping hand and to share with them not just emotionally, but do our best to give the maximal physical help we can. There is a committee in this mosque overseeing every possible way we can help. And your donations today to the mosque will be channeled to helping the quake victims of Turkey. Last Friday was, I think, an unprecedented Friday in the history of the mosque. We lived the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when a man went and asked him, "Shall I leave my camel loose and rely on Allah? Or shall I tie it?" And the Prophet said, "Do tie it and do rely on Allah." Finding a box unaccounted for in the mosque, of course, raised our suspicion, which is very healthy, and the group in the mosque moved to the social hall. And when the police came and advised that the building should be vacated, most of you went to do the Jum'ah prayer in Masjid Umar. And it was noteworthy that all was done in tranquility, in promptness, but in relaxation, without panic. And I was very glad to discover that this is the caliber of our community. These things have become a common thing in our life, they might happen again. They happen in other places. And again, there is a special committee set up for overseeing the security aspects of the mosque and the school which is part of it, as well as other schools. And we will forward our suggestions to all the Islamic centers. And when we do our best, then we can confidently rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The talk of the town last Friday was that heinous shooting at the Jewish community center, when a man opened fire on the children, and on his way away, he also shot a postal service man who was Filipino. And of course, there was an uproar of indignation. There was widespread condemnation. But from looking at the subject at a deeper level, I think it should receive more than the emotional upheaval that follows such happenings. It was not the first of its kind. As a matter of fact, it was preceded by the Columbine School, etc., etc., and there is hardly a news bulletin in the television without showing the news of such hate crimes. I therefore would like to go beyond the emotion in order to try and study this issue, which has become a phenomenon rather than separate sporadic incidents. It has become a phenomenon in American life to see these incidents of hate and of violence. And I think in order to do something about it, there is more than just protesting and condemning, and more than just a crying wolf. It should be studied intellectually and scientifically. And I can point to a few underlying factors that produce the climate where such hate crimes and the incidents of violence become many. First of all, we live in an age of cheapening of human life. Everything suggests, especially to the new generation, that human life is a cheap thing. It can take the form of abortion, killing human life before it is born. It can be in the form of euthanasia, killing the extremely sick and the elderly before they die. It can take the form of widespread and often unjustified wars. And it could take the form of arms sales to different nations, where the brother kills his brother. This is also accompanied by distorted religion. The man who shot the children at the Jewish center thought he was doing that against the Jews, as if he was doing a service to his Christianity. And this is supposed to be a follower of Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, who is reported to say, love your enemies and bless those who trespass against you. But it seems that so many Christians take only the name but leave the entire content of Christianity, which is, after all, a religion of peace and non-violence. There is also the question of racism. The man went and shot the children, but he also shot the postal worker, seeing that he was a Filipino. Probably a fellow Christian of his, but with a different skin color and from a different race. And racism still occurs in this country. And in spite of all the legal necessities taken to abolish it, it is not enough. For no amount of laws or bullets or dollars would solve the issue of racism until we can lay inside the hearts of people that every human being is a dear brother or sister, irrespective of color or race or religion. And I'm afraid in our country this has not been done yet. We know that the most precious gift of Allah to the human being is life. And Islam teaches us the sanctity of life. And that if you kill a life, it would be as though you killed all humanity. And if you save a life, it would be as though you saved all humanity. But this has not taken effect yet. Next, the problem of this nature should not be politicized, should not be taken advantage of through another angle. Our brothers, the Jews, cried, oh, anti-Semitism. But killing the postal worker was not anti-Semitism, he was not a Jew. And burning the Methodist churches was not anti-Semitism, because they are Christians. And burning the Islamic centers in this country was not aimed at the Jews. But so many things are taken advantage of and looked at through only a special narrow angle. We all should know, whether we are Muslims, Christians, or Jews, that the real problem here is the presence of hate inside human hearts. So that we Muslims wouldn't take it as, oh, they are killing Muslims. Or Jews would say this is anti-Semitism. Or blacks would say this is against the black. No. The essential error, the deep-rooted thing, is that there are human hearts who, instead of having Allah inside them, have hatred and bitterness and resentment. And this should be corrected. And then comes the role of the media. As a matter of fact, when I first came to America, at the beginning, looking at television and seeing somebody holding the gun and shooting another, I trembled. But day after day and day after day and day after day, even me at my age, I'm coming to think that this must be a part of normal life. And this is the message that children take. You speak the unspeakable and speak it again and speak it again, it becomes speakable. And so many children actually believe that to have a gun and to kill is normal life. This is part of life. Instead of the sensitivity to the value of the human life and the fellow human being. And then comes the clarity of what they call value-free education. There is no such a thing as value-free education. If you don't give the children the good values, they take the bad values. I remember in 1989, when the Los Angeles Unified School District declared the month of June every year to be the Gay Pride Month. And we went and saw the responsible person to protest. We found he was gay himself. Is this value-free education? No. It is value-laden education, but we are giving the wrong values. And I think the philosophy of education should be reviewed in this country. Because whereas the universal approach in raising children in this country, in the schools and in society, is be what you are. Be what you are. You want to be homosexual? Be. The other chap found a gun and was looking for a target and he saw his own mother. The other was hitting at cars passing in the freeway, and when arrested he said, I felt like shooting somebody. Just like that. These are mentalities that have been evicted and emptied of the proper human values that distinguish or should distinguish a human being from an animal. Animals do not kill just because they want to kill. They kill to eat. But we kill because they just fancied killing someone. And education should be reviewed on that with a proper system of incentive and punishment so that the youngsters would grow up recognizing that there are social values, that there are things to be done and things not to be done. And if then the consequences will be grave for them. But there is another type of shooting that is killing without bullets. The bomb that spreads bullets is even less serious than the pain that spreads hatred. And you look at our media, and all Muslims know it best, because so much writing has been spilt against us, trying to make people hate us. And very recently we know of Salam al-Marati's incident, being appointed to the anti-terrorism committee as the only Muslim, and then when some Zionists protested, the appointment was rescinded. And it was written that Marayati and Marakhut are terrorists and they are haters, etc. Although this mosque's policy is probably the pioneer of a peaceful approach to life and to human beings of all colors and all backgrounds. But there are those hate mongers who sow hatred amongst people. And then there is the misguided politics. Killing our children in America is tantamount to killing Iraqi children through the embargo who die of hunger and sickness because of no fault of their own. But we as the major country in the world do this. And Allah says, you are killing the children. And all this has to be corrected. And the policy of gun control should be revisited. I cannot understand how a massive majority of lawmakers always defend the National Rifle Association and the carrying a gun. They say a gun doesn't kill, but a human being kills. But if a human being kills, why make it easy for him to have a gun in his hand? And this is an example of preferring self-interests and the material gains to the most valuable thing in the universe, that is human life. And we Muslims have a stake in all this. We also have children that might be harmed. And the only way is to work the long way to produce a society where God resides in people's hearts, where they harbor love instead of hate. And this is our mission as the nation that Allah presented to mankind in order to enjoy goodness and forbid evil. And so we should go out and reach out and meet the others and make coalitions so that this world becomes a safer place and our country becomes a safer country, one nation under God. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أسأل ربكم يستجب لكم. الحمد لله بفضله تتم الصالحات وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله قدر كل ما مضى وكل ما هو آت وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته واهتدى بهداه إلى يوم الدين. My dear Muslims, we should make the difference. I attended a symposium last Sunday where the ex-Senator McCloskey made a speech and he said, you Muslims have a very peaceful religion, but you also have a big stick in your hand, but you don't use it. Do you imagine the day if one Muslim could go to a presidential candidate and tell him this is what the Muslims want, if you don't comply, then 500,000 votes will be lost to you. There are ways to change evil. The bottom of Islam is not only the sword or the gun or the bullet. It is using the effective ways that can change things in a society. And I believe if Muslims awake to the fact that there is more to Islam than the chapter of worship, and that Islam is to regulate a society, as a matter of fact, the international society. And if it is a Muslim's duty to enjoin good by whatever means it take, and to forbid evil by whatever means it take. And if Muslims wake up, and use available means, like the electoral process, which is available to us in this country. It is not very much help in many of our countries back home. But in this country, we have constitutional rights that can be effective and can change things at small levels and at big levels. If only we can open up first to one another. If only we Muslims in different mosques and centers across the country become one family of Muslims and one group working for Islam, and if in the 5 million Muslims we can recruit that's a block of half a million. We can change things for the better. For the better of this country, for the better of Islam, for the better of the whole world. But so far many Muslims look at their Islamic duties in the personal level. But Islam wants you to work on a global level. You will be witness over the people. You are the ones that will bear humanity to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will come, inshallah, although it might be a bit slow, but we are making progress. And when I compare today with 10 years ago, 11 years ago when I came to reside in the United States and to be full-time with the Islamic efforts, I said to myself, what do I want to see? And at that time, 11 years ago, I said, if within 10 years the American people would discover that Muslims are also human beings, that would be a step forward. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, we are far beyond that. We are making progress, and it is good progress. And I have a feeling for the future, al-aqibatu lit-taqwa. The future is for the taqwa, inshallah. But it takes work. Allah can vanquish his enemies, but this is the test he selects you to do. And inshallah, we'll continue the progress. It will accelerate. Islam is here to stay. We are not visitors that will go after some time. There is much evil in the community society, and we are the only people who have the values to correct this evil. If we can convince the people that we are offering them medicine to cure them and not poison to kill them, inshallah it will come. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be that and to fill our hearts with his love and love of our fellow Muslim. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا ربنا سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات يا رب العالمين. اللهم اهد الإنسانية لما يرضيك يا رب العالمين واجعلنا مصابيح هدى بين الناس يا رب واجعلنا أهلا لنكون أتباع المستصرة والسلام وأحينا وأمتنا وأحينا على لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. عباد الله إن الله أمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.